Junk's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond and Monumental Sports Network 2. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junk's. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com to join their team today.
Kicks asked me to put up a poll of the day. Our poll of the day brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. They're the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can only 100 calories with zero carbonation for easy sipping. You can find Surfside at your local bars. And in convenient variety, 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Limited by characters to really explain it out, but when will Terry McLaurin reach a new deal with the Commanders? Four choices. Before preseason. So I believe their first preseason game is August 8th. During preseason.
Yes.
Before regular season.
Okay.
Or we'll play without a deal.
Okay, so you have four choices.
And it's we'll play in the regular season without a new deal.
I'm stunned. I think he's going to play without a deal. Now, Joe Corey's an expert. He knows this. He's been through this a million times. He says he thinks they're going to figure it out. They'll come to some sort of compromise.
Let's see if I can craft up a deal.
I just don't see it.
Peters can come up with a new deal.
I don't see the Skins budging.
I would love to know what those numbers are.
I'd love to. I mean, you live close to Ashford. Can you?
I don't.
Can you weasel your way somehow into the hallways there? And
I mean, Joe Corey said it could be him asking for more than what Jamar Chase is asking for.
Could be.
If he is, he's stupid. And his agent's stupid.
If I'm Adam Peters and Buddy Baker sits across from me and says, we want to be paid more
than Jamar Chase.
I would literally, I would laugh him out of the building and I would call security. I would call
have
security
him escorted out.
And have Buddy Baker escorted off the premises.
Understood. Yeah. But whatever I can't imagine the number he's that is, dumb. You know, it's a starting point number. He's going to come off it.
Right. And then I assume
it's almost still, irrelevant.
But we have no idea.
But even if you
we have no
off,
idea what's going on in the negotiations.
Even if you come off that number, then the logical spot to fall back on is then you're in Justin Jefferson and I guess CeeDee Lamb territory.
That's still too high.
I don't think he asked for 40. What did Chase get? 40 million?
40.25 million.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not sure what the guarantee is. I'm
pretty confident he didn't ask for Jamar Chase money, but I wouldn't be surprised if he asked for a lot.
But
no one is going to come off it.
If he's probably asking for that Metcalf type of number. And
or a little above it.
Yeah, and I would love to know what Peters is coming back at.
Schefter said it's significantly higher than the number that DK Metcalf is making. And he's making $33 million.
So if it's significantly higher than that, it's close to the Jamar Chase
number.
It's
like, to me, significant is $5 million more than that. And that puts you a little bit shy of Jamar Chase's cap number. I would laugh you out of the building if you were asking.
Well, he
me for
should
that.
Be laughed out.
Yeah, that's fine because that's your starting number, though.
He's not 26. He's
asking that
almost.
Because he knows they're going to compromise eventually. So, you know, he's not asking. Let's say he's asking for 36. He's not expected to get 36.
No.
You start at 36, no one is going to get chopped.
But I think the Commander's compromise number is like maximum
25.
Like, I think.
No, that's probably
like they'd
the
go
start.
Above and beyond because it's Terry and they like
28?
Him. 28? Maybe 30? Maybe. But that sounds like. That's a bridge too far for the Commanders, too.
You might be right.
I think they have wildly divergent opinions on what Terry McLaurin is worth.
Clearly.
But it also
that's
might
why
come
I think
down
they're,
to
not gonna, they're not going to budge.
It also might come down to the guarantees, the years.
Oh, definitely. They're not getting.
But if Terry McLaurin is getting offered $30 million a year, effing take that. All right. You're going to be 30 in September.
I mean, it seems
come on.
It seems like a number that would be amenable to most people.
If he's not, okay, then that's a different story. If he's not getting
offered, I don't think they're offering him 30 anything yet.
You're probably right.
I think what they're offering
I'm saying
is
if they
closer
are,
to Mike Evans.
No, I think the disconnect is they're offering him a number that starts with a 2.
Yeah.
And he wants an offer that starts with a 3. And that's
the high 3.
Well, they
sounds like the high 3.
Yes.
They sounds like the high 3.
They can't
threes.
Come to an agreement. They can't meet in the middle on
they're
that.
They're at an impasse.
But again, the team has all the leverage.
The team that what's throwing me, and I can't confirm that it's true, but seeing the report that Ayuk held in all through training camp and ended up signing for exactly what they offered him at the start of training camp. In other words, the hold in gained him nothing.
At the end of August.
Yeah, gained him nothing. If that report is true.
And I brought this up earlier. Maybe Buddy Baker, McLaurin's agent, is in over his head.
I definitely think that's possible.
I think that's a component here.
That's why I'm telling you, you go with a good agent, it just puts you above everybody. It just gets you at a certain level, mm-hmm. certain level of respect. They're not going to mess with you. They understand you cut deals all the time. You cut big deals all the time. It's one of the big reasons why we hired Bob Eatman. He was getting big deals for big guys in our business. And then, he unfortunately passed. Mm-hmm. So we're still within the family. We're with his brother, who's respected. But Bob was like world class. Bob was the...
He was Cal Ripken.
He was Cal. Billy. Ross is kind of like Billy.
We've talked about it many times.
I
know,
but I mean, it's true.
Yeah. Hopefully he's not Fred.
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't realize. I just saw some... I guess... I assume it's real. I didn't bother. I didn't care that much. I didn't know that the Kelseys had a third brother. They've got like a Manning. Like, what's the... They got like a Cooper Manning.
What does a third brother do?
Is that fake? Was that a fake story that I saw?
Have you been
that
duped?
There's a third Kelce brother?
Did you get duped?
Probably. Probably.
I think if there was a third, we would have seen him by now, right?
Okay, so it's probably fake.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not doubting it, but
I didn't even bother to look at it, but I just but I watched the video and I thought, well, that's interesting.
Well, like it's a bit.
So he has no. They don't have a third brother.
No.
Okay. Good. entertained me while I was flipping through the reel, but I didn't bother to even check.
I would have thought you would have seen him in the box.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Right,
yeah.
With mom and Tay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
By the way, update,
I mean, unless he had a brother they just don't get along with.
No, I think it probably takes 1 second to Google it. And I didn't
Have we still not
it,
seen Aaron Rodgers' wife?
Yeah, that's
he's kept that on the DL.
That's a weird bit.
I haven't seen
Hold on, he got married? I've forgotten that.
You were in Vegas.
He got married.
I think you were the World
I was at
Series
my brain was getting baked in the sun in Vegas.
It's been a while. Okay. I feel like right. we
Maybe
talked about it a couple months
before.
Ago.
Okay.
It was definitely before he went to Vegas.
I've kind of forgotten about
you
it.
You sure?
Yeah.
Remember, they were complaining that he got married. He announced, like, on the first day he showed up, they had a wedding ring or something, and then he had gotten married, and then people were like, well, where's the wife? How can we see no pictures of the wife?
Right.
And he was like, she doesn't want it. She didn't want any attention.
She's very private.
You know, people are wondering if it's like a Manti Te'o thing. Or like,
made-up wife?
What's going on?
He said fake it in wife? June is when he said it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the wife's name is Brittany.
Okay.
But that's the only information anybody has.
I have heard it.
Maybe that's a fake name.
I played
who knows?
The Brittany sound clip when we talked about being married.
That's how he remembers.
That's how I associate it. D. Woods chimed in and said, you can only have one liquid IV a day, EB.
Is that what they say? Why?
Well, that's what D. Woods is saying. I don't know if he's an expert.
I've had two a day many times.
I don't know. I'm just telling you what
I mean,
D.
If
Woods
out,
is telling
if
me.
If you're out on a golf course for 5 hours, you can only have one. I don't believe that.
Dude. Look,
maybe you just have to drink water.
Maybe
after
D.
That.
Woods is a surgeon general, and I am unaware. But that's
I just
what
googled
he's telling
it.
Me.
This thing says you can drink up to 10 servings of liquid IV per day.
Who am I going to believe now?
Which is equivalent to about 3 liters or 6 regular size bottles.
I mean, I have 10 bottles of water in a day like today, and then at least 2 liquid IVs, at least. And then the other day, I went to Aldi's and I had the emergency pickle juice I had to buy. So I was cramping up while I was driving.
Okay, so the liquid IVs is just what you're dropping into the water.
Yeah,
okay.
The power.
I just didn't.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we'll be joined by David Sampson, former Marlins exec. We can talk about the passing of Ryan Sandberg, the future
about.
Of the Nats, and more with him.
Trade deadline.
And the trade deadline, which is looming too. We'll get into that next. Time to head to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to David Sampson. From the Nothing Personal with David Sampson podcast, former Marlins executive. David, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Good morning.
Good morning.
There's a lot going on.
There is Dave. A lot happening. Let's start with the Nats first and foremost because we're here in D.C. It's just been a brutal season for them. Even though they've won their last 3 games, they're still in last place in the NL East. Lots of churn and burn with the most important guys in the front office and managerial spots, Rizzo and Davey both gone. Yesterday, the news that their top prospect, Travis Sikora, slated for Tommy John surgery. Just nothing going right for the Nats in 2025.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah,
go
we
ahead.
Got you. Go ahead.
I've been thinking, hold on, I'm only quiet because I was trying to think of my top 5 list of things that are going right for the Nats.
No, it's hard.
And my silence is that I couldn't come up with even one.
What about James Wood?
So disappointing.
Yeah.
How could, I mean, listen, you got to love, he was in the home run derby. That was cool. I wouldn't mind having a number one starter named Gore. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind finding a different manager than Dave Martinez, as much as I loved him. It was time. That's fine. Maybe a better than the interim and find someone who can come in. Maybe the team will get sold. There's that. But here's the thing. This all goes back, and I hate to say it, but it's true. It all goes back to COVID. The Nationals are the last remaining team that are suffering from COVID fatigue because they never got the World Series bump that they so desperately deserved and needed. And after they won the World Series, obviously they couldn't take advantage of it. And believe me, that kind of stuff doesn't just last a month. It lasts years. And I hope we're at the tail end of it. But that, I think, explains a lot of what's going on with the Nats.
Well, and also, I mean, we've talked to some people who kind of know what's going on in ownership, and there's a ton of owners. Okay. Mark Lerner's not the 100% owner. There's a bunch of people. Some of them want to sell the team. Some of them don't. Okay. It's got to kind of be unanimous. They all have to vote on it. And I'm not sure if Mark Lerner is one of those guys who wants to sell, or maybe he doesn't want to sell. I'm not sure. But they're not spending any money. Their payroll is low. That's why this Mackenzie Gore trade deadline thing is interesting, because, you know, he's a Boris guy. He's not going to re-sign here. He's going to go to free agency after two more years, probably pitch really well for a contender if he gets traded, and get a big deal. And they're not going to sign him to a big deal. So does it make sense for the Nats to trade Mackenzie Gore, even though everything I read say it's a long shot? Maybe that's just kind of based on what they would get coming back. But does it make sense to trade Mackenzie Gore?
Well, you say that, but the reputation of Ted Lerner, who was a mentor of mine, and I miss him very much as the patriarch of the team, and we'll get back to sort of what happened after he passed away. But it's not like Ted Lerner and the Nats didn't do business with Scott Boras at all. They were very much known as a Scott Boras, you know, sidekick, in that Scott would use the Nationals to get some deals done that would make him look good, and the Nationals were willing to do them. And so it's, I wouldn't say that Boras is the reason. It's the fact that the team is for sale, and you've got to think about who the new owners are and what they are going to want in terms of players or obligations. And in terms of what you need to sell the team, just keep in mind, when Ted died, yes, the control person is Mark. However, the team is owned by several of the children and in-laws of Ted.
Yep.
And yes, it's a lot like the Buss family. Do you know how the Lakers got sold? Is that Mark Walters said, I know you all can't agree on whether you want to sell, but how does $10 billion sound? Well, all of a sudden, all the kids said, well, that sounds too good to pass up, so we're going to sell. That's one type. The second type is when Irsay dies, owning the Colts, and he gets the kids together and says, hey, I'm going to die, and how do we feel about the three of you in these three positions, and you continue owning the team? Are you all in? Well, that conversation happened, and that's what's happening with the Colts. It didn't happen with the Nats. There was no resolution. Things were always so up in the air, whether it's Masson and the big fights they were having with Angelos and the Orioles and MLB, whether it was which kids wanted to cash out and which kids didn't, because some loved baseball, some didn't. There was just never any unanimity of purpose. And that tends to then leak down to the team. And I think what you're seeing now is the team is for sale, no matter what Mark says. If the price is right and the bid is hit, meaning all the kids agree, the team will get sold. And when you know you're selling your team, it impacts how much money you're willing to lose operationally and how much you're willing to have on the books going forward. So it does impact what you do in the free agent market. So all of this is really quite understood to me, why they're doing what they're doing.
Right.
All right. So do you think that they're going to sell or trade Gore?
I actually do not, because if you are an incoming owner, I believe that Gore adds value to your team.
Okay.
But remember, when a buyer comes in, very rarely, you know, when we sold the Marlins to Derek Jeter, he didn't do a player-by-player analysis. He knew where the payroll was going to be, knew he'd have to trade all the players and bring the payroll down, and that was part of his plan going into new ownership. Obviously, it didn't work for him, and that's how he lost his job. But you don't not buy a team because you've got a player on a long-term deal or because you've got a young player who got traded, because generally your horizon is longer. But when you're the seller of the team, you try to be as careful as you can not to give reasons to a potential buyer to offer less than what you need them to offer.
Do you think the Lerners realized that since Dan lost the Skins, now the Commanders, whatever you want to call them, they've become kind of enemy number one here for the fan base. The fan base is so frustrated, and for whatever reason, you could say the COVID hangover and never got that bounce and everything else that's happened. You know, it's six straight years of losing. They're like enemy number one in this town. They're very upset that they're not spending the money. Doesn't seem like that's going to change anytime soon. Seems to me you kind of think they're eventually going to sell. So this regime will never spend money until the next group comes in. Do they even realize how the fans feel about them, if you had to guess?
Yeah, I think that's why they made a change at GM, because I could give you a bunch of cities where the perception is they're not spending money, but they make the playoffs, whether it's the Rays or the Orioles or the Guardians. There are low payroll teams who do make it to October. Now, if you're a low payroll team that doesn't, like the Pirates, you tend to get overly criticized. When you're a low payroll team that does, you tend to get complimented. You know, let's talk about the Milwaukee Brewers and what they're accomplishing this year, and what we've seen over the years over in the AL Central with the Twins, whereas the White Sox get criticized because they don't win with a low payroll. So I think what you mean is people are upset about the losing and not upset about the payroll. I think hopefully that's what you mean, because if you were competing for a playoff spot, I think that you'd be fine with whatever the payroll was.
Well, they assume people around here, basically, I understand what you're saying. Our producer has brought up those examples before of teams that have gotten to the playoffs and done well with limited payroll. But they basically say the feeling here is if you're not going to spend money, you can't win on the whole. Maybe you could luck box a year or two, but especially when you go young.
I have a ring on my finger for having young players who were outperforming and then complimenting them with some veterans. So,
with the veterans. Like, the veterans are
not
garbage.
Spending. Like, I think their total payroll for guys that are playing this year is around $60 million. A lot of their payroll is tied up in Strasburg and Max, those deferred deals.
So I would like to remind everyone how everyone felt when Strasburg was the MVP and was he going to re-sign, when Scherzer was brought in, when Patrick Corbin was brought in. It's not like they weren't spending money. The problem is they were deficit spending. Yeah. And when you deficit spend and you're not the Dodgers, the rooster's going to come home to roast. And, of course, I just mixed my metaphors.
Yeah,
but that's exactly what's going to happen. And that's where you are now. Eventually, if you are taking Peter to pay Paul, eventually Peter rears his ugly head, and that's where you are. So the Nationals don't look at it as though they don't have a high payroll. Only you do, because they're looking at cash out the door.
Understood.
And that's the problem with deferred money, and that's why doing business with Boris is a bad idea.
Here's the thing. It seems like, at least from afar, that the only guy locally that's interested really in buying the Nats is Ted. And Ted's not anywhere near the number that they want, right? So doesn't sound like Ted's going to cave anytime soon. So if they have this team, let's say, for the next 3-4 years, whatever,
The disaster continues.
Can we expect them to start spending money again when the Scherzer and the Strauss deals come off the payroll?
Off the books.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would expect that is when. I think that the fewer deferred deals they do going forward, the better. I think that once those deals come off the book, you do get free operating income that you can put back into payroll. But I would just tell you that if you were to do a $1 bet, Mortimer, I would tell you that 4 years from now, the Lerners will not own the Nationals.
Yeah.
Talking to David Sampson, host of Nothing Personal with David Sampson, also a former Miami Marlins executive. So let's go bigger picture. And we can start with what apparently went down with Manfred and Bryce Harper. But bigger picture, is a strike looming in a couple of years?
Well, I think it's not a strike. I don't think the players will have a chance to strike because the owners are going to lock them out.
Right.
And so I think that the day this agreement ends, December in 2026, the players will get locked out as they did a few years ago with the last CBA. The question is, more germane, are we going to miss games? Because this past round, we had a delay of the season by a week or two, and we managed to squeeze in 162 by having the World Series go deeper into November. Mm-hmm. The question is, will there be 162 or fewer than 162? And I would say, given the way that these two sides are positioning themselves, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. But I would point out that Bryce Harper getting in Rob Manfred's face, it's not Bryce Harper, it's Scott Boras. Bryce Harper is carrying the water for Scott Boras. Scott Boras coming out with a ridiculous quote yesterday that Bryce Harper's been held down by caps his whole career. It's enough to make me sick. There's not one bit of a cap that is about Bryce Harper at all. And the funny part is that the rest of the union should be fine with the cap because the reason that the rest of the union has a problem is the minimum salary isn't high enough, that there's some human pension issues, retirement benefit issues that would accrue to the benefit of an overwhelming majority of the union. Remember, Boras's guys are nothing. They're a tiny percentage of the union, and they all voted against the last CBA, and every team rep voted in favor of it because the team reps actually represent players, whereas Boras actually represents himself.
How much resentment is there between the halves like Bryce Harper and the guys who are making 25 and 30 million a year and the vast majority of the players who are the have nots? I mean, that has to be a bone of contention between those two parties, right?
Yeah, management certainly hopes so. That's how you get deals done. That's why Rob Manfred's going around talking to players because he doesn't want to count on the union talking properly to the players or being truthful to the players because they're too busy answering to Boras and his group of, you know, eight guys who are at the top of the food chain. So it's all an interesting thing. And listen, you know how it goes in an argument. The minute you raise your voice and start swearing, you've lost the argument. If it's true that Bryce Harper went nose to nose, he's choosing the wrong commissioner because Rob's not going to back down. And Rob also knows that, hey, this is fantastic. Because the more emotional and angry you are, the worse you are at negotiating. And so if Boras is going to get emotional and his players are going to get irrational, that is going to mean a positive thing for the owners during the course of the negotiation. So I don't think you're seeing Rob crying his soup over what happened.
Hmm. All right, so a couple of interesting things from yesterday / last night. Suarez gets hit on the hand by a 96-mile-an-hour pitch. He was, if you looked at the deadline rankings of players who would be dealt, Suarez was at the top. How does that affect him? And then also Emmanuel Clase, the closer in Cleveland, he's done because now he's on leave until the end of August because of this gambling investigation. And I'm not sure if you saw the pitches that are in question.
I did.
He threw those balls about 53 feet. And it was hysterical. So talk about that. Those two guys who may have been dealt now are probably off the table. So who are the top two or three guys that will be dealt, in your opinion?
Well, Suarez's x-rays were negative, and the Diamondbacks are thankful because if they're responsible at all, they will trade him by Thursday at 6 p.m. You can always do what the Yankees did with Chapman. You can trade him to the Cubs and then re-sign him as a free agent if Ken Kendrick wants Suarez back so badly. But the Diamondbacks' season's over. They are not good enough to compete for a playoff spot here in the National League in 2025. So all these free agents-to-be, you should let them all go and get whatever you can, but do it at the end so you get the best return possible. Have teams bidding against each other and then just choose the best offer at 5:59 p.m. on Thursday. And when Suarez got hit, the gasp came from the front office of the Diamondbacks, not from any possible acquiring team. Right. Because what you do when you're trying to get a player, if the player isn't available, you go to the next player. There's always a next player, but when he's your player and you want to move him and then something happens, you're despondent, like the Guardians. Class A should have been traded, and now he can't be traded. He could end up getting suspended for life over this.
Right.
Rob Manfred has been very public saying these prop bets, man, they're not great. They just lead to problems. But the good news is the gambling companies, it's easy to get caught, especially when players are idiotic about it. But the investigation is going to happen. It's going to take time. But don't be surprised if there's a lifetime ban here.
Wow.
And Class A is a first-rate, top-rung closer, even though his year this year is not as good as last year. But last year was, you know, hard to imagine. You can't do that over a period of years unless you're Mariano Rivera. So I just view this as terrible timing for the Guardians, who also are not in the race, who would have been able to gain assets. And that's how you look at it as a team president, like, oh, man, this is a wasted opportunity. And it really is wasted forever, I think.
David, thanks so much for the time. We always appreciate it. Follow him on Twitter, at David P. Sampson. We'll talk to you again soon.
Have a great day. Thank you.
You too.
Thank you, buddy.
That's David Sampson.
All right.
The podcast
Bye-bye.
Is Nothing Personal with David Sampson. He's a former Marlins exec. Remember, you can listen to the Junks. Hopefully on 106.7 The Fan, but if not, you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. We'll be right back. Junk's text line is brought to you by our friends at Lido Pizza, a local favorite since 1955, serving pizza, subs, jumbo wings, and salads. Lido Pizza is square because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to Lido Pizza. .com. Text us at 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply.
Make sure you stay inside today. Unlike Bickle, who's going to go on the golf course for 5-6 hours.
I think for the most part, I will be inside most of today.
Yeah.
That is the plan.
I took my dog out for a walk yesterday at about, call it 3 o'clock.
It's right in the height of the heat.
I know, but that's her schedule.
Yeah.
And my buddy's son, our neighbor, was on his back deck suntanning.
Oh, really?
I said, what are you doing? It had to be 104 degrees.
That's insane. It's insanity.
Yeah, he was just out there living it up.
Yeah. Well, my advice to you
is
to take as many dog walks as possible between now and November.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're sleeping. You're just so asleep on the fact that astrophysicists from Harvard, okay, Harvard. This is not just some rinky-dink college.
Yeah.
This is Harvard.
What are they saying is going to happen?
Well, how about their warning that Earth could face an alien threat in November of 2025 after revealing that an object spotted in space might actually be a, quote, hostile extraterrestrial spacecraft. Oh, and here's the kicker.
Why hostile?
Give me your source. Give me your source, Cakes.
This is World Watch Yass, at Yass _Smith on Twitter. How about it's the size of Manhattan?
Okay. All right.
This object, it's not just, it's not like.
That's a big spaceship.
It's a big silly. It's a 24-kilometer object larger than Manhattan moving towards our planet. Could be a camouflage ship of another civilization with unfriendly intentions.
Could be. Or they could have friendly intentions.
They're gonna be friendly.
Why are aliens always showing up here unfriendly?
Because they
if they're advanced.
Here's why. Because they want to destroy us.
For why? For what purpose?
It's called world domination. Duh. I mean, have you not ever seen a movie about
aliens? Of course,
aliens,
but my point is it could go the other way.
So it'd be the last of us.
You think every alien that comes to Earth is going to be like E.T., you know, a long finger.
No, but
they're
so far advanced.
Yeah.
They're so far advanced. Why do they need to lower themselves thus?
Here's why. Because we're easy pickings.
Take our
because
resources. They can. Yeah. Take our resources.
There you go. You can make that argument.
I hope they
need
hot
our
planets.
Water.
I hope they like heat indexes of 115.
November won't be hot. I mean, it'll be nice and relatively cool.
Well, if they take over
by November,
take over the planet, they got next July.
Well, I was telling Drab, it's right in the middle of football season. This is terrible timing. Aliens, if you're going to come take over, at least wait until like mid-February of 2026.
Right after the Super Bowl.
Don't do it in November.
Here's the bad beat is that they're going to lose it behind the sun too. It's gonna, zooming past Jupiter and whatever, and then and then it goes behind the sun, and we won't know where it's at until it's here.
It's going to hide behind the sun.
Basically,
It's going away from the sun, like 3 doors down.
The sun.
I mean, that's a little bit scary.
You won't know until it's right on you.
Yeah, you're not going to know until they're all lined up over the major cities, kind of like Independence Day.
It'd be better when it's over the White House.
If there's a big flying saucer that just lands, just hovers above the White House, then it's over, Johnny. What are you going to do?
That's funny.
I'm just letting you guys know. I'm waking everybody up from their slumber.
When did they find it? When did they first find it?
Oh, I don't know how long they've been tracking it. I have no idea.
Didn't they already come and build the pyramids?
Some people think that's what happened. Because, how are you going to build those amazing pyramids without any sort of like alien technology way back when?
Hmm.
Makes you think. Makes you wonder.
Oh, so they detected it on July 1st, so just 3 weeks ago, almost 4 weeks mm-hmm. ago.
But what is it when you say it?
It's moving at 130,000 miles per hour.
It is an object spotted in space.
Right.
These Harvard scientists are saying that it could be
an alien
life.
Right. It could be. Could be a camouflaged ship of another civilization with unfriendly intentions.
The old camouflage ship. I used to see that on Star Trek a lot.
Well, I mean, if they're advanced, you think they can't camouflage their ship?
Could it be?
I don't know. How would I know?
I mean, it could be anything.
I know, but they don't think it's... Here's what I know.
But why do they got to wipe us out? Are they angry that we play fantasy football?
They might be. They could be. They're jealous of our fantasy football knowledge.
If they want to be best friends, we don't want them here. You don't want any. Want anybody visiting us.
We can't coexist with them.
Why? They might help our technology.
No, we'd screw it up.
No, I don't think we're going to be able to coexist. And I'm just going to guess their technology is better than ours, and that their weaponry is better than ours.
Hey, JP's dying to be probed.
By the way, I saw you guys doing a cameo. Do you have a bunch of cameos you have to knock out?
We had one that was getting ready to expire and Mar wasn't here to watch the board.
Yeah.
And we thought we would be distracting to you in here, so we tried to keep it short.
So is that typically what you do? You wait until it expires and then you knock it out?
You kind of need to be in the mood because it is a lot of work.
You guys go all in, and again, I'm telling you, these guys love doing the cameos.
They give you your money's worth.
They love it.
They give you more than your money's worth.
They get all geeked up. That's the most excited I've seen you two all morning.
Well, we got to fake a smile.
We're not faking anything. We are putting on a show. We're being entertainers.
Yeah,
that's right.
I know.
People are paying their hard-earned money.
I know.
For their shtick.
Yeah.
What's the projected time again? You say
November 2025.
So when does it get blocked out by the sun?
That Drab was giving you those details. I don't know.
I don't know.
So it's whipping towards the sun, then it'll go around and then come at us.
Yeah, they haven't updated me with their itinerary, JP.
Because it's going to take some time for us to get, you know, the people working on the oil rigs and everything to get up there to shoot it down.
What it says. The report alleges that when it reaches the closest point to the sun in late November, the object will be concealed from Earth's view, enabling it to execute a covert high-speed maneuver to decelerate and remain in the solar system, preparing for an attack.
Why couldn't it just be a comet or a meteor?
I don't know. It could
be. I don't know. They don't think it is. For whatever reason, the brains at Harvard don't think it's...
But some people probably do think it is.
Well...
I'm going to say for the record, I do not think it's
here's
aliens.
What I do know.
I'm going to say that too.
I know that the Space Force, this is their priority number one. Whatever they're working on right now, I don't know what they're working on. You got to shelve it and you got to figure out what this object is that's approaching Earth. And if it's an alien spacecraft, please destroy it immediately.
Hmm.
If you can, they may have a force field. They had a force field in Independence Day. It was tough to get around. Right. Okay, Randy Quaid had to fly his fighter jet up into the power source of their alien spacecraft.
There's a guy that I follow.
Took one for the team.
He did take one. He took one for the entire civilization.
Yes.
There's a guy that I follow online that swears that we are that the government knows, but they're not telling us that an asteroid. I think the name is Apostasis.
Okay.
Is heading our way. In a few years, and they're just trying to figure out how they're going to deal with it.
Okay.
But that it's going to come excruciatingly close if it doesn't
take us out.
So you're, what you're saying is we're staring right down the barrel an extinction level event.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, I don't like
that. This guy. Now, I don't know, whatever, but I'm following this guy for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And he says, I think he calls it apostasis. And he's thinking that like Elon and these guys, they're working on it now. They're just not, they don't want to alarm the public.
It's top secret.
Some people want to blow it up. He says you just got to nudge it. We just got to send something up there to nudge it.
Right.
Okay.
And that's just all you need. And
just needs a nudge to push it off course.
Yes, to push it off course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's hope we have the technology for the nudge.
All right, remember watching Alien Autopsy on Fox.
So, Matt,
riveting.
One of these scientists from Harvard,
mm-hmm.
Avi Loeb,
mm-hmm.
he's one of these guys who are kind of leading this theory.
Yeah.
But later in the story, it says Loeb himself concedes the most probable explanations are natural, and he admits that the most likely outcome will be it's a completely natural interstellar object.
Right.
That's what he said. That's one of the scientists.
Well, I just read the tasty
headline. Of course you did.
Well, most likely and probable doesn't sound definite.
Well.
Definitely does not sound definite.
I mean, how can you know? You can't know. I'm just pretty sure I don't believe in aliens. I mean, I like it in theory, but. I can't wrap my brain.
Well, there's definitely life somewhere else in the universe. It's impossible that we are the only life in the universe.
I don't believe that.
It's too. The universe never ends. How could that be possible?
It might be life, but it might be like a hurting.
I just don't believe like we're going to see it.
Like a hurting amoeba.
Yeah.
Human beings.
I didn't say it was going to be humans.
Yeah. I mean, it might be a plant somewhere.
It'd be butt sized though if they came down with 10D HD TVs.
Well, I mean,
say, why are you guys watching Nubbin's TVs? Here's a bunch of sillies.
You enjoy watching your 10D HDTV while you're enslaved.
Hey, we flew light years. We flew light years because we were so offended by your screens.
You're low def.
Yeah.
We saw so LDs watching Mission Impossible.
We saw the quality of the movies you were watching.
Yeah. They heard about Valdez's magic box, and they said, no, our technology is way beyond.
Or we gotta have that.
Google Glass.
Yeah.
Like, this dog keeps thinking he's pitching these glasses.
Yeah.
I saw Zuckerberg, he said he believes phones are going to be obsolete soon.
Like soon, how soon? 5 years,
what
10
does
years?
He mean, phones?
Soon
he
is
phones
very
will
nebulous.
Be obsolete. He thinks it will be about like the Google Glass and stuff like that.
So we'll all be walking around with glasses.
I don't know.
Or contacts.
I'm sure they said cars glasses. Are going to be obsolete 50 years ago.
Glasses.
How do
Maybe
I feel
they put
about
a
that?
Chip in your brain.
Yeah, I'm out on chips. It doesn't matter. We're all going to be dead by then. Trust me. You ain't going to have no chip.
You're hey, but you
dead.
Know what's...
You're dead.
You know what's new?
Chips?
I checked my Odyssey email.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Is that good?
I'm trying to keep up with it.
What?
CK made a big announcement.
Did?
Do you know?
Nope.
No idea.
Can you make it here? Is it top secret?
Is it happening?
106.7 The Fan.
Today?
Can I give a drum roll?
Did he just make the announcement? Or is it like 2 days ago? A few days ago?
Oh. Maybe a week ago.
Maybe
10 days ago.
Okay. Right.
But I just saw it. 106.7 The Fan is live on TikTok.
Ah. Okay.
Oh, we are?
Have 5 followers, so we give it a follow. Oh,
there we go.
There are 4 videos.
That's pretty weak.
I have no idea who's doing the 106.7 The Fan TikTok.
Right? You got your generation. You got a TikTok.
Let's boost this up right now. Last 2 minutes of the show. It's TikTok.com/@106.7TheFan.
All right. Good.
Mar, you got a TikTok?
Oh, yeah. Big TikTok guy.
All right, can you spread the word?
You better follow. Hey, give it a follow.
Are you following it yet?
No.
Will you do it?
I got to get on that.
Yeah.
Will you tell all your groupies?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's Lou running the TikTok page.
Lou? Okay.
Like Lou. Tell
Kels
New
to
York.
Put it out to her people. She's a big TikTok girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's her number one thing.
Yeah, collab.
Collab. We'll do a collab.
It's got to get more than 5 followers.
Yeah.
Well, she needs to spread the word. We need some help. Get some young girls following the show.
Yeah, if you want a bunch of 17-year-old girls following 106.7 The Fan, that's
we'll
her specialty.
It.
Doesn't
we'll
matter.
We'll take it. This guy says that I'm saying it wrong. It's called Apophis.
Apophis, okay.
Apophis. A-P-O-P-H-I-S. Apophis.
Right, so take us out. I gotta look out for that asteroid.
Yeah, I think it's
When do they think it's going to hit, though?
I feel like it's like 7 or 8 years. Don't quote me. I just remember kind of vaguely checking it out, and I'm just hoping he's wrong.
Well, I'm hoping he's wrong. Yeah. I'm hoping he's wrong, too.
Right. 2029, cakes.
2029.
Well, that's not that far away.
No, it's pretty close, actually.
You know,
Jaden Daniels will be re-signed for like $95 million a year, and an asteroid's going to hit him. All right, we got to get out of here. B. Mitch and Finley, they're coming up next.